If you have your Bibles this evening, we invite your attention to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. We'll start in verse 1. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Start in verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, God willing, tonight we're going to be looking at a few verses here, and we'll be looking at a few other places as well. But we're going to be talking about, for just a little bit, about the perils and the dangers of the last days. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing here, and understand that he is writing in letter form. Just like you would write a letter years ago, or maybe even still do. But he was writing it in paragraph form. We didn't have chapter and verse divisions like we do now, which I'm glad we do. It helps me to be able to memorize things better. I couldn't imagine looking at a letter and saying, third paragraph, second word, or something like that. At least now you can say chapter 3 and verse 2. I think it's a blessing to have these kind of divisions. But at this time, you didn't have those divisions. They were written in paragraph or letter form. As he's writing here, he's dealing with a lot of things. Chapter 1, he deals with how that if we are children of God, we're called to be soldiers of Christ. We're to be courageous. That's in verses 8 through 12 in chapter 1. Verses 13 through 18, a call to faithfulness as soldiers of Christ. Then in chapter 2, he deals with the character of a soldier of Christ. Just like any soldier, he's got to be strong. Strong in the face of opposition, but he must be strong in the grace of God. Verses 3 and 4, he is single-minded in his purpose. He wants to please his general, his commander-in-chief. Verses 5 through 10, he is strict. He's disciplined. Verses 11 down through verse 13, he is secure. That means that he knows who he's fighting for. He knows what he is to do. Verses 14 through 19, he is sound in the faith. Verses 20 through 23, he is set apart for that work. And verses 24 through 26, he is a servant of the Most High King. Well, here we come to chapter 3. Chapter 3 talks about some cautions for the child of God or for the soldier of the Lord. Starting in verse 1, he says, "This know also." Now, notice that again. This is something you're to know. "That in the last days perilous times shall come." We got reminded of this past Sunday on TV. We've gotten reminded of it. How many times whenever we turn on the TV and find out something about an attack at Virginia Tech? Attack at Columbine years ago. I remember, how many of you all remember where you were at whenever that happened in Columbine in Colorado? I remember exactly where I was at. I was driving down the road in Hyco, West Virginia, getting ready to make a visit. And I heard about the attack at Columbine. Still remember that to this day. Then, of course, we know that there's perilous times by what happened on 9/11. Back so many years ago, hard to believe, that's been 16 years. But yet, we know that it has happened. And all these things remind us of the dangers of the day in which we live. But also understand this, and this is something that we don't think about a lot of times. It has always been perilous to different degrees for the child of God to be a follower of Christ. Do you know it was dangerous for the Apostle Paul to follow Jesus Christ and to put Him first? Do you know how many times that he had people literally take up stones that were about the size of a child's head and would pick it up over their head and slam him with it over and over again, not to just chastise him and punish him, but to kill him? How many times was he involved in shipwrecks? How many times was he taken by soldiers by force and thinking, this is it, I am going to die today for Christ? Listen, he knew the perils of the day. God's people in general knew the perils of the day. Remember, before the Apostle Paul was saved, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And what was he known for? He was known for taking God's people and throwing them in jail. Didn't matter if it was men, didn't matter if it was women. And I'm pretty sure from the things I've read, and I believe the Scripture alludes to this too, but it was also, he would have children at least taken from their parents, if not cast into prison. And yet, he still yet, by God's grace, was saved and called to serve. They knew what it meant to suffer. They knew the dangers that were involved in being a follower of Christ. But you know, we as God's people here in the United States of America, we've had it pretty easy, comparatively speaking. Do you know in India, if someone makes a profession of faith and is baptized, it's not celebrated by their families? They are kicked out of their families. They are disowned. That's bad enough. But you know what else happens? Not only are they kicked out of their families, but then they lose their jobs. Those that are blessed to have good jobs. And then you know what happens? They are left to fend for themselves, if not taken and killed. That's bad, isn't it? But you know what? India is not the only place like that. There's other places, the Middle East, many places in Africa, Asia, thrown in jail for just attending church services? We don't know how good we got it. But yet, here we are, as 21st century Americans, blessed to be here in a place where, generally speaking, at least the government isn't coming after us. Unlike many of these other places, we still have the freedom to worship, and yet we don't take advantage of it. And when I say we, I'm talking about in general. Everything else is first. Oh yes, they knew. They knew what it was like then. But it continues on. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. So it was tough then, there was perilous times then, and there's perilous times now. It's dangerous days. Verse 2, a description. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look at that description. That is a description of the generation in which has been raised, my generation, I'm 44, and the generation coming up. Lovers of their own selves. It's all about me. It's all about making me happy. Forget about what's best for my family. Forget about what is best to bring honor and glory to God. Give me what I want. Well, listen what has happened and look around to what that has brought about to this generation. A generation of selfish, spoiled brats. Covetous. Never satisfied and content with what God has provided. Boasters. Always going around, look at me, look how wonderful I am. Proud, arrogant. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Listen, I don't have to go into a big diatribe about what each one of these words mean. We know what they mean. What a thankless generation we live in. Most time you go to a store and, you know, this is just a simple thing. You hold the door open for someone and they just stare at you like, what do you want? Whatever happened to someone, say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Whatever happened to giving someone something or doing something for them. And you know, you don't expect them to bow down to you and tell you how wonderful you are, but at least a simple thank you. Unholy. Without an ounce of holiness, not understanding the things that are holy. Verse 3, without natural affection. So a lot could be said about that today. Parents forsaking their children. Children forsaking their parents. Used to be that it was the safest place in the world for a child to be in the womb of his mother. Now, it's not. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. The idea in verse 3 where it talks about truce breakers, talking about those who will just, you make them a promise, they'll quit, they won't even keep it. False accusers, those that will falsely accuse and lie on those to get what they want. Fierce gives the idea of a untamed beast. Despisers of those that are good, those that hate people that do right, whether they be God's people or not, they hate and despise that which is right and good. Verse 4 and 5. Those that are traitors, deceivers, heady, those who are headstrong and reckless, high-minded, those that think they're better than everyone else. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They would rather be satisfied in their pleasures, whatever it would be, rather than satisfy and bring honor to God. And then verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness gives the idea of having the outward look of being godly, but without the spiritual reality. Let me give you an example. So many times, folks, we talk about dressing up and making the outside look good. Listen, there's nothing wrong with getting clean, all right? If you have opportunity to, I'd recommend anyone there want to take a bath. Wash their hair, right? Put on some deodorant. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trying to look good. Nothing wrong with trying to clean up. But many times people, especially sometimes spiritual people or religious people, that's all they concentrate on. They want the outside to look good, but they've neglected the most important part, the inside. Remember when Jesus Christ, He rebuked the Pharisees and said, listen, you've cleaned the outside of the cup, the platter, but the inside is nasty. The inside of the cup's dirty. Now listen, He wasn't rebuking them for getting cleaned up on the outside. Okay? What he is saying is, but you neglected the most important part. That's the heart. So many times, that's what happens. We think we have to make ourselves acceptable before God, and we have to look a certain part. Or we think others ought to do that. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. The Pharisees, I am certain, they looked good. The Pharisees had it together. But their souls, their spirits, their hearts were dirty and nasty. They were just like anyone and everyone else. They were lost and undone. But yet they were so trying to make it look good on the outside. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Saying those who put on all the emphasis on the outside, and they neglect the heart, they don't know what true godliness is. I'm going to tell you this, folks, and I've told you this before. I had all the outward appearance of having it together spiritually. Raised in a good Christian home, as the old saying goes, rocked in the Christian cradle. You know, man, Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I died, I'd be Baptist dead. But you know what? The Lord did a work in my heart, and He changed me. He saved me. He cleaned me up. Oh, listen. Everyone looked at me, and they looked at me as a model for their kids. I heard them say it. And man, I was so proud of that. But they didn't know that I was doing the same things as their kids. I was just putting on a better show. And then God did a work and changed me. Let me say this, folks. Let's not be putting on a show. Let's not be trying to dress it all up on the outside and then on the inside be full of dead men's bones. On the inside, being that cup, being that platter that's dirty and nasty. It's got all that corruption in it. Be cleansed by the Lord Himself. Now, I want you to consider this as well. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with the divers' lust. Now, verse 6 says, for of this sort. What sort? Those that's mentioned in verse 5. Those who have a form of godliness, those who deny the power of true godliness, run away from them. But there are those of that sort which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women. Now, that's what it says here, okay? Laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now understand, when it's talking about silly women here, apparently these women, because of sin, were easily swayed and were kind of unstable. They were easily changeable of mind. They were prone to accept new ideas just for the fact or just for the sake of getting a new idea, and they were swayed by impulses. And they were never able to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Listen, let me say this, folks, even though it talks about here These silly women, you know what? I know some silly men like that too. Back and forth. You ever watch a tennis match? Hit the ball on one side, watch over there. Hit it back on that side. Well, that's the way it is. And their spiritual walk. Always back and forth. Never no grounding. Never no stability. Never accepting any truth. All the time running to something new. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning something new. Always learning about some great truth they'd never heard before. Then the next thing you know, oh, I don't believe that anymore. I believe this. Oh, I don't believe that. I believe that again. Constantly changing. Look at verse 8 and 9. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, verse 8, when it talks about Jannes and Jambres, now understand that these two names do not appear in the Old Testament. But in certain early Christian writings, and even some late Jewish and even pagan writings, these are the names of the ones given to the Egyptian magicians who performed counterfeit miracles in opposition to Moses. Remember the snakes? Whenever the staff was thrown, the rod was thrown, then of course Moses' staff, if you will, destroyed their staffs. They are symbols of those who are in opposition to the truth. Let me say this. Those who are in opposition to the truth of God's word will never prosper. They will never succeed, and what will happen is they will be destroyed. Whether it be in this life or whether it be in eternity, listen. As the old saying goes, God's people may go through some tough times here upon this earth, but in the end, we win through Christ. We win through God, and He will take care of us. He will deliver us. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. One day, there will be a manifesting or a making clear of such silliness and such opposition to God. Here's the question I want to leave you with tonight. We understand the Bible says that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come. But this is the thing. While we know that dangerous times are to come, I can tell you this, I am secure in my Lord and Savior. I know that God forbid if someone came through that door and God forbid something happened to me or if something happened on the way to Georgia tomorrow, I'm going to be with the Lord. It's okay. Listen, I can rejoice. That's like the old saying goes. You know, the Sunday school asked a class one time, said, how many of you children want to go to heaven? And everyone raised their hand except for one. His name was Billy. Billy's always getting in trouble. They looked at him and said, well, Billy, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, sure I do. But I thought you were asking for volunteers to go right now. That's the way we all are, right? We want to go to heaven. We just don't want to go right now. Listen, I'm not raising my hand, jumping up and down, saying, me next, me next, me next. I don't want to leave my family. But I tell you what, if that's what the Lord has, so be it. Let me say this, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, the only hope you have is to turn from your sin, turn from yourself, and turn to Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose again. That's it. And that He did it for you. So let me say tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, trust Him. Being a Baptist won't save you. Being a member of Friendship Baptist Church won't save you. But Jesus Christ will. Let's all stand. Appreciate your attendance and attention tonight. Thankful to have Amanda and Melissa tonight as well. Make them feel welcome. Let them know how much you appreciate them.